all together, and it's just so good. And we're going to celebrate a communion as well, and just looking forward to this. Just real quick, I was hearing. I went to a gathering a couple of weeks ago. Heard a preacher sharing a message, which was really good. But at the start of his message, he was about 40 now. He's got a church down the Gold Coast, but he was telling a story how when he was in his early 20s, he'd been a university student, done very well, and his dream in life was to be a detective. And it was really a big dream. He'd done his degree, but he was going for the police force. So in he went for the police force, went through all the tests, went through all the exams, and he was just passing it, flying colours. He was smart, he was fit, and he was ready to go, and he was going to be like one of those TV shows, I guess. That was his dream. And they just remembered, oh, there was one test we just haven't done yet. You've got to do this last test. It's nothing much. It's a very simple thing. We all got to do it, but just go do that test. So he wasn't sure if he was having to front up to some psych test or something. He finishes up in a room with some guy there, and the guy's going to show him a little book with some pictures and see what he thinks. And he asks him, you know, what does he see in this picture? And after a while, he just looks at it, and really, he sees nothing. Just, you know, just a bit of a blank kind of page, nothing much there. And he thought, oh, this is probably some trick, you know, they're waiting for me to invent something. And he says, oh, you know, I don't see anything. And they said, just look again, just look quickly. Just have a study of that, you know. And he's looking, and they said, do you see nothing? And he said, I can't see anything. And what it was, there was the number, I think, 21 there. And the guy was colorblind. And he was out. He couldn't have this job in this detective kind of role unless he could recognise colours. It's a bit of a male thing. I started to look this up, and it's about 8 to 1, I think, males to females is colour blindness. And it really started me to think. And I've got a message today, because I reckon when we start to follow Jesus, I reckon we're colour blind at times. I know when I first met Jesus, got saved, there was things I was blind to, and he begins to open up our eyes to things. I'd like to read you from Mark chapter, I think it's in Mark chapter 10, I won't go there for time, but there's a story there in the Gospel of Mark. There's an account of Jesus going along with his disciples. You probably all know it. James and John come to Jesus with a clear request, you know. They'd been walking with this guy for a while. Now, James and John are pretty good. These guys have left everything. They left their dad's a business to follow Jesus. They were around when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." They heard something. They started to follow. They left all their nets. They left everything. And as they're going along with Jesus, you know, I don't know how long it's been, they're recognizing that they're onto something good. They've probably, I don't know the timing, but I think they've grasped this is the Messiah. We are onto something great, and it's going to be good. And they figure they better start to position themselves. So they come up to Jesus with a clear request and say, we want to sit at your right hand and your left hand. Now, that's fair enough. They're first in. They've given everything. They've done the yards. And, you know, they're called. They've got destiny. But they were blinded. They were colorblind. And Jesus says to them this amazing thing. He says, you don't know what you're asking. He's more or less saying to them, you're blind. You're missing something here. There's something on this page that you're missing. Jesus attempts to enlighten them that suffering is a significant part of the package. He says, are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they were still confident. These guys were confident. They believed, yeah, we are up for this. And Jesus really thought, well, fair enough, but you've got no idea what you're asking. and he assures them that while their suffering is ahead, what they were asking was not even his to give. And then the other 10 guys, it says they began to get indignant. They were wondering if the rest would, you know, I actually feel like these other 10 would probably, maybe they're a bit cranky because they're just as blind, and they're a bit jealous that these guys have got in first. They've got the jump. And Jesus turns the whole thing into a training them and discipling them. And he says these things. He actually says to them that you are colorblind. You're not seeing what the kingdom where I'm from is all about. He says this to them. He says, this is the culture of the world. This is what the Gentiles do. But he says, it shall not be so among you. He's clarifying for them what the culture of the kingdom is. He says, but whosoever will be great among you, because they want to be great, whoever will be great among you, and he maybe feels that's a good thing to aspire for, must be your servant. And whoever will be first among you must be slave of all. He says these famous words. Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I just felt when I heard that preacher talk about being colorblind, I thought, I actually was a bit stirred. In recent weeks I've heard preaching, and I feel God's wanting to open our eyes, or open my eyes afresh to another colour, you know, to realise that weaved into the kingdom of God is these magnificent colours, and there's some things which are very core, and the one thing that really goes to the core of who Jesus is to serve. So I've titled this series that we're going to do for a few weeks, which comes from a book that some of us read many, many years ago, and it's called Improve Your Serve. And, you know, to serve is at our core. If we want to produce fruit, we have to strengthen the roots. And I'm going to answer 5 questions today, simple ones, and it's just this: who, why, how, where, and when. Who we serve, why we serve, how we serve, where we serve, and when we serve. Now, I've got a picture to put up, Michael's got. I just thought we need a picture that should go with our caption of Improve Your Serve, if Michael can find that. I thought, what's a good picture of a servant? Here we go. How's that? That's Laura. Laura, give her a real clap. I reckon a mother with 3 kids and a broom in her hand and helping out in kids' church is a picture of a servant. And there we go. That's Jesus incarnated in Hope Point Church, in the kids' church. You know, we're all in here. Nice and quiet, isn't it? You know, all the kids are out the back watching a movie. You know, on any given week, 40% of our church that's here at church is children between 0 and 12 that are out the back. We are slowly, gradually affecting a generation and a town. And it's so encouraging to have the camp here. And our nation, if you look at people between 0 and 12, they represent 10%. Here it's 40%. I reckon God's investing in us. He's investing. He trusts us with children. And I'm just encouraged about that. Just want to go through these few things, and I just hope it stirs your heart and encourages you again to serve and to give your life for Jesus and to serve his cause. Who we serve. Serving is not our job description. I'm not up here to say I'm going to preach a message on serving and I'm going to have a list of jobs and I want you all to sign up. That's not what I'm here for. Michael would like that. He would like some helpers this week for the camp. He's a bit short. You know, Debbie would like some help in the kids' church. There'd be lots of things. But I want God to touch your heart today. I want God to touch you at the core, because if we have a heart to serve, if that colour is running through every heart here, then God's work will get done. God's work will get done because at our core, we are servants. It's not our job description, it's our identity. Being a servant is more than calling. It precedes the task that God calls us to do. In his letters, Paul frequently introduced himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He did that to establish who he was so he could speak to those churches. But in Romans and Philippians, he introduces himself as Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. He was a servant first. In fact, my understanding of that word is this word bondslave. He was a bondslave for Jesus. You know, Paul, his task was an apostle, but his identity was a servant. We have a role, we can have a responsibility, but our identity, who we are at our core, all of us, we are servants of Jesus Christ. We were created to serve. That's how he made us. In Ephesians 2, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's handiwork. God has something prepared for every one of us, uniquely prepared for each one of us. He has made us with a purpose in mind. We are not in this room for no purpose. We're here, we're called, and we're created and prepared for something that he has from the beginning of time. We're created to make a difference and to have a contribution to what he's doing. The second thing is why we serve. Now, there could be many things that drive you to serve. I've picked out two that I think are pretty significant. They have motivated me. Maybe there's others for you, but these work for me. Romans 12, verse 1 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That comes in Romans at chapter 12. And when you look at everything that happened in that book before, it was all about what God had done for them. And then he sort of like flicks a switch in Romans 12. And Paul starts to say, because of all that, because of what God's done for you, by his mercy, all that stuff about grace, all that love, all this that we're going to celebrate today, that Jesus did for us on the cross, the fact that he died for us, the fact that he gave his life for us, the fact that he rescued us, everything, where you could have been except you met him. Because of all that, I appeal to you by that mercy, present yourself. Present yourself. Give yourself to Jesus for what he wants to do as a living sacrifice. You know, Paul never tells us what God wants us to do before he tells us what God has done for us. All the epistles are like that. They begin with what God has done before it starts to get into what God wants us to do. It's his great mercy, and it's worthy of a response. It's not, you know, whatever we do to serve the Lord, it should not be a have to. It should not be this sense of obligation, the sense of, you know, we are obliged, we are bought with a price, but somehow deep within us, he loved us first and we love him. It's a want to. We're motivated by gratitude. We're motivated to serve because of what God has done for us. He gave his life for us and we want to offer our lives as a sacrifice for him. He came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And because of that, we want to serve him. Paul had in mind when he said he was a bondslave to an Old Testament an analogy where it talks about slaves in Exodus. And it talks in there about when you buy a slave, it said, he shall serve for 6 years, and in the seventh year he shall go out free. Free for nothing. He owes you nothing. But if the slave, it says, I love my master and my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him to God, and he shall bring him to the door or to the doorpost of the house, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl. I don't know what that is, but I would expect it hurt. And he pierces his ear, and he says he will be his slave forever. You know, when the slave recognized that so much had been done for him, even though he had a right to be released and to be free, he willingly chose to bond himself to his master, putting his ear to the door and having his ear pierced. He said these wonderful words, "I love my master. I will not go out free." You know, there are a lot of things you can enjoy in life. We live in a blessed country. We have beautiful things to do. We have opportunities galore. And Jesus gives us freedom to enjoy all things. But you know what? Often we've got a choice. Am I just going to enjoy this freedom, or am I going to give my life as a sacrifice for him? Is there something in us that cries out, "I love my master. I will not go free. I will not do everything just about me"? I believe that's the gratitude. That's the thing that Paul had in mind. Paul gave all of his life and spent his life on Jesus' cause. The second why I've got is based around these simple words that Jesus said as well. He talks in many of his parables about eternity, and he has these words. He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You know, if you will serve Jesus, Jesus promises you a reward in eternity. Now, we're not doing it for salvation. We're not doing these things for works. But I tell you, a lot of what I do for the Lord, I tell you, I got my eye on eternity. I used to be in the finance a bit. I used to work in Centrelink and used to do this job called financial information officer. I used to relieve in that job. And I did financial planning for a while, and I sort of liked that, you know. But I tell you, this beats any returns you'll get on any super fund. This will beat any returns on anything. You know, you are going to live forever. And this life is so short. And there's a lot of things you can do and spend your life on, and it's not particularly that much reward. But there are rewards for serving Jesus. We don't do it first out of for ourselves. We do it because we love him. We love him and will not go free. But, you know, I encourage you, sow into the kingdom of God. You might call it enlightened self-interest, but the returns are great. Jesus said, "I am coming quickly and my reward is with me." Isn't that great? Does that excite you? I'm coming quickly and my reward is with me. A lot of things we can do in this life have little value in eternity. But serving God has eternal implications. Paul said, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." So that's the why. I want to tell you a couple of the hows. How are we going to serve? I'll tell you the first one. With humility. That's how we serve. We serve with humility. Whatever we do, we're serving the Lord, not people. You know, there's so much of that in Scripture. We work as unto the Lord, not unto men. Whatever we do for an audience of one, not for the praise of men and not for our own agenda. We're not like those, you know, disciples coming up that are colorblind and saying, "I've got to jockey for the right spot here. I've got to work this out." We are serving for the King. Jesus says, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before others in order to be seen of them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Paul said this to the Philippians as well. He said, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. That is the secret. Everyone is better than you. Everyone is better than me. You know, it's we've got to think of others. That's humility. Leonard Bernstein, who's ever heard that name? Ever heard of him? He was a conductor in New York Philharmonic. If you're a musician of some sort, I think he was Jewish. And he was asked once in an interview on the TV, Mr. Bernstein, what is the most difficult instrument to play? He responded, second fiddle. I can get plenty of first fiddles, but to find one who plays second fiddle with such enthusiasm, or second French horn, or second flute, now there is a problem. And yet if no one plays second, we have no harmony. You know, what God does, he does through a body, and he does it through every one of us, and everyone playing their part, and it's everyone in their heart is serving for an audience of one, and with the King in mind, and happy to be second fiddle in any way. The other way we serve is sacrificially. Be available, is what I thought. Tell you a story of Jesus again, about him when he was walking down to Jericho and some blind men were on the road. They started to yell. The two men shouted out, Lord, have mercy on us. You know what the next words were? It says, Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped and he called them and he said, what do you want me to do? You know, if we want to be used by God, if we want to serve God, we must be willing to be interrupted. I don't know about you, but I started to think about all the miracles that happened because Jesus was interrupted and he was happy to be. What about those blind guys? They get healed. What about the lame man that got healed when Jesus stopped? What about the paralyzed men that they put through a roof? Jesus didn't say, look, just wait over there for a while. He was stopped and he stopped for those that came on his path. Proverbs says, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. Servant-hearted people make themselves available to be used by God, and they're sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit of God and obey them. I have to say I find that challenging. Many times you can have an agenda or things you're doing, and God can have an interruption for you, and God can have something that sort of suddenly cuts into your day, or maybe it cuts into your life, and he says to you, I want you to do this. I want you to help here. And you can just sort of be so busy, we miss it. We miss what God is doing. It can rob us if we miss the voice of God and so busy. Don't worry when you're being interrupted. Maybe God has a miracle planned in the interruption. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, be prepared to lose your life. Be prepared to die to yourself. You know, the spirit of the world deceives us, and we can pursue success at any cost, and we can pursue the things that we want. Yet the trap is what we really thirst for, contentment, fulfillment, and a deep sense of satisfaction comes when we're used by God, when we are doing all that he wants us to do. Another how is with joy. You know, if serving is just grabbing a mop and getting involved, just giving a hand, if it's giving of ourselves and it's giving our time and our energy to the needs that God puts in front of us, if it's simply laying down our lives, then the how is we have to do it with joy. It's just like giving. We can't do it resentful. We can't do it with attitude. It says, serve the Lord with gladness, with a glad heart. Philippians says, do all things without grumbling. You know, we can rob ourselves if we do things, but yet inside we're actually lost our joy. The Macedonians, when they gave, it says, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity. There's something with our giving. We have to have that abundance of joy. Nobody is twisting our arm. We're doing it with willing hearts. Jesus loves a cheerful giver. Where we serve? Well, I don't know if that's particularly that relevant. I started to think about it. I thought some places you can serve can be very prominent, but doesn't mean it's significant. I don't know about you. I've observed over the years, especially in men, that ears grow. Did you notice that? You ever watched on the sort of a show and there's a really old guy being interviewed? He's got really big ears. You probably start looking at this, but ears grow. You know, ears, you know, your nose too maybe, but the ear, you know, it's actually cartilage. It grows. You can have things on you that are very prominent, but I could lose an ear and I'd be quite fine, you know. I'd get along. But I got a liver, and if my liver's not very prominent, I hope, and... But if I lost my liver, I'm dead. I'm dead, you know. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. It just matters that we're serving with all our heart, living for Jesus, and we serve where he's called us each to serve with joy. What, you know, when Jesus told the actual parable of the sheep and the goats and about eternity, he said, whatever you've done for the least of these, you've done for me. You know, sometimes it's the most, what you would think is the most insignificant or less prominent thing you've done for the Lord. You might look back from heaven and find out that all those little things you did with joy that weren't very prominent, they had the greatest reward. All we're asked to do is, I often love this verse, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. We're all gifted. You know, you're all gifted. Every one of us has something from God. We've all got a gift. This room is packed with gifts and what God could do. And every gift, it says here, is for the benefit of others. It's not for us. God gifts us with gifts for the body. It says to serve one another. And we have a responsibility to be stewards of the gift that he's put on each of our lives. And the strange thing is, we are at our most fulfilled and our most content when we're being used by God in the gifting that he has for us all. God has ordained that we are like an orchestra that just plays with every gift in its place. When do we serve? When do we serve? Well, I think it's from day one till we get home. You know, I thought that the challenge in this is we need to, many times, many of us, you know, we all serve, but there's times in our walk where we get burned out or hurt or something's almost like a wound. And I thought the challenge with the when part for me is to guard against hurt. Christians get hurt. You know, Christians get used. Can happen. Christians can even get abused in church. Their sacrifice maybe was never noticed. Whatever they did was not appreciated. And maybe we even sometimes we're serving a vision that's misguided and we've given our lives and spent our lives on things that didn't produce much. And for whatever reason, we get hurt and we withdraw from serving. I just encourage you today, go to God, whatever it is, However you work that out with God, just talk it out with God. But get healed. Get healed of any hurt and rise again and serve him. Because there is such great reward. There is contentment, there's fulfillment, there is reward for here and for now in serving him with whatever gift he's put on your life. Love again, serve again, like you were never hurt. The enemy, that's where he robs us. He robs us when we're hurt. You know, a story that really encouraged me once, you know, was the story of the widow's mite. You know that story? The widow put in everything she had. Think about her. She's a widow. She is giving everything to God. She's only got two mites and she drops it in to the temple offering box, gives everything. But Jesus has looked at that temple and all that's going on and he's called it corrupt and religious. And, you know, he's really against that place. And yet he still valued what she did. And I thought sometimes we've given stuff to God and we thought, well, that was a waste because that never did much. But you know what? God still sees everything we've done in his name. And he values everything we've done and he honors it. And don't worry. Don't worry. If you've done anything in the name of the Lord, he has seen what we've done. Jesus commended the faithful servant to keep going. Paul said it's required of servants that they be found faithful. You know, we just have to keep going. I was watching a series we did in our small group, in our Connect group, on missionary work. And there was a Japanese missionary that had gone to the Philippines and done a great work with translation work. He went when he was young. He went with his young kids. Could have been people, could have been sick, and they could have his kids could have got ill. They did get ill at times. He paid a lot of price for going to serve the Lord. And they asked him, I can't get this picture out of my mind. He's sitting in this kitchen and he's chatting to this guy. And the guy says to him, so did you ever, regret? He's sort of trying to find out, did he ever regret what he did? And the Japanese guy looks at him and goes, no, 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 no. And I keep getting in my mind this, no, 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 no. You know, we never regret what we've done for the Lord. Everything we do with joy. We do because we are gratitude, because we love him, because I love my master and I'll not go free and we're never disappointed. We're going to take communion and it's getting late, so we better do this. We've got something fresh. Look at this. We've got gloves. And sanitizer. You've never seen this before. And we've got the good servant, Shane. Is Shane still here or does he have to go? He might have gone. He's here. Shane and Dave, they're going to come up. So if we're on film here, we might be, you know, around the world. So they're going to sanitize their hands and put on a glove. And we're going to give everyone, one of these. And the band's going to come up and play. Come up and play. And we're going to wrap this up today. I'm going to give you each one of these. You probably have to work this out. If you make a mess, there's more. There might be more here. I'm going to pass these around quickly, and we're going to sing, and we're going to wrap this up. This has, I think, you peel once at the top, and there's a wafer, and then you peel again, and there's your little juice. So, COVID communion. There we go. So, but we're going to remember Jesus. Just go for it, Shane. Good on you. Dave's a bit slower. How come you're so fast with gloves, Shane? Anyway. No, they're going to give you one each. Don't let them touch anything, Shane. There we go. No, that's right. Jesus led the way, you know. Jesus led the way about the serving. It says, this is his example in John. It said, he rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel. You know, we're going to sing this song, Beautiful Saviour. This is beautiful Jesus. This is the colour that we need to see. This is the colour, you know, look, we've got Hope Point blue everywhere around here in these stuff. I trust blue is the colour of servanthood. Let that colour be through everything we do. It said he took a towel, he tied it around his waist, he poured water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He said, do you understand what I've done to you? He's wanting them to see something. He's wanting to lift the blindness. He's wanting them to serve like he served. And Jesus has given us an example to serve just as he served, to love one another. Jesus has done everything for us. And I want us to stand today and sing this song, Beautiful Saviour. This is the most beautiful thing about Jesus, that he gave his life for us. And we love him because he first loved us. I just want you to, you can do this at your own pace. Come and see the guys if you messed it up. We might have a spare few. And just remember Jesus as we finish and sing this song. And if there's something in your heart where you've been a bit hurt, I say serve again, love again, give your life for Jesus. It's worth everything. And you will be fulfilled. Let's sing it, Kim.